Once again, O Father, day set aside for our gathering together to honor the day of the Lord's resurrection. We thank you, Father, without this new day, Lord, that the first day of the way, without that eighth day when you resurrect, Lord Jesus, we will not be here this morning. Because we have life, life that you have given us, eternal life, and Lord, the joy of the Lord within us, that peace, that grace, that mercy, the goodness, the everything that you are, Lord Jesus, that you have given to us, Father, that we are so filled with joy that we would like to come together as often as we could, together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and just to worship you, O Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Bless all those who are not here this morning, especially for those who are not well, Lord, and need a healing touch. We pray that, Lord, you just touch them too, Father. We commit all this to you now as you approach thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we finished with Esau and Jacob, to where Esau sold his birthright. So now I want you to go to the book of Genesis again and the reason why I take this, my time solely regarding Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they are the patriarchs of the faith that we have. That's why Yahweh, he identified himself. He says that I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he never said in any way that he was the Lord God of Ishmael. Nor did he ever say that he was the Lord God of Esau. So I am the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, because there is something significant about these three men that God chose from the very beginning when he took Abraham out of his country and bring him down to a place that he said he would give him. And if we understand this very, we know the Genesis, the book Genesis, as Abraham used this, just the words. You break it up, genes is. Because everything starts there in this book. All the Genesis means the beginning. Everything that you want to know about
Why?
The answer, why? We are here. Why the universe? Why this? Why that? Why sins are here? Genesis give us the answer. And the most important thing about our faith, as a Christian, as a worshipper of Yahweh, who has given us His Son, Yahshua. Now, if we understand this particular period of time and the person that God dealt with, we can really appreciate the thing that God had done for us, the calling of God in our life. Just to be His children, not to just to be a preacher or anything, just to be His children. It was a great privilege. So now, if we go to the book of Genesis, we finish up with chapter 25, and why we found out that Esau sold his birthright in verse 29 onwards. And we also were told that in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, 16, that when Esau sold his birthright, he was called a profane person. When he despised his birthright, the Bible referred to him as a profane person. Do you know what profanity is? You know, profanity means you say bad things, bad words, it's a curse, it's a rubbish thing, it's a garbage thing, anything that is, you know. So when Esau sold his birthright, he despised the birthright. Birthright is everything. So when he despised it, the Bible called him a profane person. Somebody who considered the value of something that is worthy to be dirty, filthy, worthless. So is any time, any one of us Christians, any one of us believers, should we ever despise the birthright that God gave us to be His child? Huh? Then we are a profane person. And when we found, when we commit that, we will come to a place where, like Esau, like Judas Iscariot, they will find no place. You will find no place for repentance. That means there is no second chance anymore. There's no such thing as a second chance when God deals with us. Once you have something and you despise it, you're finished. That's why Judas Iscariot, he couldn't find a place to repent. He said, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. God has turned His eyes away from him. You know. So that's how dangerous it is when you despise your birthright. So now, over in chapter 26, where the story continues, and we want to deal with this. Now here, God's covenant with Isaac confirmed. Now we know about this covenant like we talked about on Friday here. Just briefly. God promised Abraham that he will be a father of nations. To be a father, you must have a seed. One. That's number one. If your seed dies, you don't have a descendant. You have nothing. You have no nation. So God promised him a seed, he must have a descendant. And God said to him that he will have a descendant. And with the descendant comes a nation. So when God promised Abraham, later on God sealed it, his promise, with the covenant. A covenant means the cutting of flesh. And when you cut flesh, blood will be spilled. That's where the picture comes in. The mysteries of God dealing with mankind. That's why Jesus Christ was cut off at Calvary. As the Bible foretold in Daniel chapter 9, he'll be cut off. So you just remember, we're talking about cutting off, we're talking about a covenant. And it's a covenant of God, not a covenant of man. And later on in chapter 17, which Sister Brie was asking that question, when God established the covenant. You see, the covenant of God is one-sided. It's everything about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. Making something for us. You don't make a covenant with God. Nobody ever made a covenant with God. Yeah, you say, God, if I do this, you'll bless me. You know? If I go to church every Sunday, you bless me, right? If I give your offering to you, you bless me, right? You know what the Bible said about this? All your good work is filthy rags. You don't try to find favor with God by trying to do good. You'll never find. Until you come God's way, you will never find favor with God. Simply as that. Because you see, the grace of God is a merit of favor. It is Him dealing with us. No, we're dealing with God. And God has no bargaining. You understand? It's just simply that. You see, Abraham tried to bargain with God about those in Sodom and Gomorrah. God already knew the number of people that would be there that would leave the city and be saved. How many people out there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah that God wanted to save? He knew. But Abraham was trying to bargain with God. What if it's 100, if it's 80, 70, 60, 50? What about 10? He said, I would if there's 10. Because there's not even 10. Yeah, you can only plead with God. We can go down our knee and plead with God for our salvation, for the salvation of our brother and sister, our loved one. Yes, because God is the Savior. And if you love somebody, you can go on your knee and you pray. God wanted to teach you. That's all about prayer. Prayer is not just asking God for this and that. Prayer is about something that there is a deep love for people. What did Jesus on his last day, why did he go to the Garden of Gethsemane? Because he was praying to get through, to go to Calvary. There was a heavy weight on him. That's why he prayed, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. I don't want to die this way. If there's some other way that man can be saved, have that some other way. I don't want to go to Calvary and die. But he said, nevertheless, Father, your will be done, not mine. He prayed 3 times. The Father never answered him. Because why? It is already written. It was already prophesied. God has spoken His word, and God is not a liar. He said it, He will do it, He will never retract His word. You see? You know. And Jesus loved man. He says, if there's no other way, then let your will be done. And you pray so intensely that the blood, his sweat came up, and even the blood break up into the skin. Through the, you know, the capillary burst. So intense was his prayer. That's why when he died at the cross, he died of a broken heart. That's what he died of. If you do not know what a broken heart is, literally the heart breaks up. The pressure was so intense that the wall of the heart breaks up. That's why when the spear was speared onto his side, the Bible said water and blood came forth. How could that be? Because it was hanging upon the cross, the heart was already breaking up, and that if you know your pericardium of the heart, there is a sac around the heart. Like a bank. The blood oozes out and went into there. And after a while, you know, blood and water were separate. That's the way that he died of a broken heart. He died loving you and me. That's what God is. And how? Like it is said, how can I go on sinning? How can I go on sinning? When my heart cries out, He died for me. How can I go on sinning? When my heart cries out, He died for me at Calvary. And all this goes back to the very beginning right here, this man called Abraham. And he had a son, Isaac. And Isaac had two boys. And here, what was this boy here? Esau and Jacob. But you know, when they were born, the one midwife was there. Isaac was there. They saw the child. The first one came out was red. And they called him Esau. When the midwife took the little child out, and he saw the hand grabbing one of the leg of Esau. And that was Jacob. He wouldn't let that fellow go first. And his name was called Jacob, supplanter. And I said this, you know, and just as the prophecy said, because it was told to Rebecca that the older one will serve the younger one. And Rebecca remembered. And I want you to see the way things develop. God has it written down for our admonition, for our understanding, for us to see His plan and His purpose, and to the characters of those, you know, people whom He called at play. Yes, all the words are staged, as Shakespeare used to say. And all men and women are merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his lifetime plays many parts. How well do you play your part? I always wonder many times, in fact, when I sit and ponder and meditate, it says, Lord, are you the puppet and we are you the puppeteer and we are the puppet on the string? Will you manipulate us, you know? But it seems to be so. Because God already foreknown what's going to happen to this world. Even before it began, God already foresaw the thing that would happen. He knew the end from the beginning, even before creation came forth. He knew certain things would happen when He created man. And I want you to say to me, and I always talk like this to some people, they say, then why did God allow it? Well, He should have created them. He should have bring forth creation, then we all don't have to suffer. But you see, if there was no creation, you won't be around asking this stuff, foolish question, I always say, right? Don't you think so? You won't be around. There are people that are not born. As you say, they're never born. I mean, a mother gives birth to a child. That's life. But in the world, there was no marriage. No children were born. Then those who were not born, they would not exist to ask questions. They don't know what life is because they, you know nothing. If you were not born, you would not know anything. So think for a moment. I am here because God is. Right? If I'm not here, if I'm not alive, if I'm no life, I don't know what then, because I don't exist. That's an interesting fact that there is a reason why God allowed things for you and I. So when we look at the character, now I want to say first of all, before I continue, when we talk about the original sin, we are talking about the serpent seed. And I want you to be very careful, because this teaching that we, or this doctrine of the Bible, it is not widely accepted, because tradition have controlled the minds of people. When people are deep in tradition, nothing new will change their mind. You know. Or if you were to live in China many hundreds of years ago, you will not believe that the world is round. You will believe that the world is flat. The earth is flat. And is sitting on top of the back of a turtle. And so whenever there is an earthquake, it is because the turtle moves. And that's what they believe. I mean, there's all kinds of tradition that comes up. Yes. You know. And in Chinese mythology, in the people create religion, as I said this. They create religion. And they have all kinds of imagination how you, where you come from. And in the Greek mythology, you know, they have God and demigod and semi-god and whatever kind of god. You know, even God that came down and married a woman and gave birth to a son. I mean, there are all kinds of theory and teaching that's going on in religion. So when we talk about the serpent seed, when we talk about the original sin, remember one thing. The original sin is not about a fruit tree. It's not about a fruit that Adam and Eve ate. Huh? That causes all the problem in the world. No, it's not about a fruit. It's about hybriding. It's about committing a sin that should not have been done. And God said, let everything bring for its own kind. God meant that. When you crossbreed two seeds, they're no doubt the same when you crossbreed, hybrid. What did it produce? It produced something that is never in the minds of God. You create a seed of discrepancies. In the garden, in the whole planet Earth, when God created everything, He said, let everything bring forth its own kind. It must be so. Now, you know, here in Singapore, we have Boluku, right? You know Boluku? Yeah. You have Lansa, right? And what do we have today? Luku Lansa. You all know that, no? One fruit is one fruit. Boluku, right, is one thing. Lansa is another kind of fruit. Then you have Luku Lansa. They mix these two fruits together and there's something in between them. You know that, don't you? Yes. And there are many fruits in the world today, they have been hybrided. And people think the hybrid of food is good. They're not really good. You know, that's why you have all this GM food that is being, you know, genetically modified. And that's what happens when you mix one fruit with another fruit, you are modifying their genes. Like a mule coming from a donkey or a horse. It doesn't look like a horse. It doesn't look like a donkey. It is part of both and it behaves strange. See? And this is not, the law of God is against this. The Bible clearly stated clearly many, many times. And yet, how is it that we Christians in denomination are not even understanding it? Why are they not understanding? Because tradition blinded them. When truth is being taught them, they say, we don't want it. And that's why the Bible said God hates denominationalism. God hates any ism. When you make your own religion, when you make your own opinion into the Word of God, God hates it. So in the origin of what we have, let me just again go through this. We have in the garden a man, a male. The Puritan vows, that's Adam. We have a serpent. That's also a male. Then we have a woman. That's Eve. This is the garden. The Bible talks about the garden. In the midst of the garden. So the woman's body is the garden, the man's body is the garden. Alright? Remember King Solomon said, I'm coming to my garden, my spouse, the taste of the fruit. So what happened was that the serpent seduced Eve and planted a seed there in her. Now, Adam was created, remember, in the image of God. The serpent was not. The serpent was the highest of all the animals. And he was just like a man, but he was not created in the image of God. No wonder today, in America, some denomination, not very many, just one of those cutting group, that believe that the African people, that they are the serpent seed. They came from the serpent. Yes, I have books on that. And they try to like prove that the African people are serpent seed. Because they said, look at them. Look at their lips. They're very thick. Look at their nose, they're very white. The nostrils are very big. Look at their hair, they are very kinky. So what does that prove? There's a proof that they're saying that, oh, the nose, you know, the nose with the big hole is there for easy breathing because they work very hard like animals out there in the field. So they could breathe better. What about the lips? So how did the lips just structure, you know, that doesn't look normal? Really? Well, you go back to, well, you go back to Mongolia, go back to in Northern Asia, you know, China, they, look at the Japanese back in those days, they look like this. You know how they look like? Well, if you don't understand, I think the video will be, you know how they look like? Am I normal? I look like a serpent with a slit eye. So I must be a serpent seed, don't I? So why isn't the Asian people or the Chinese people serpent seed? They don't understand why all this color come from. The black, the brown, the yellow, the white. Where did they come from? Where do we come from? The answer is in scripture, but how many people really understand it? You know, the Bible said the truth has set you free. A lot of people don't understand. So we have the serpent brand of the seed there. That was Cain. And Adam, that brand of seed also in the wild. And Cain fall, Abel. And you know what happened? The Cain killed Abel. And God gave another seed, and that is Seth, to Adam and Eve. So now here we have two different seeds planted here. Two different seeds. Alright? How different? Different seeds. Because there are two different creatures here. Alright? But the same garden, only one garden. Same garden. I want to show you how, when you look at this, the thing that developed. Alright. So, we have Cain kill Abel. Now, I want you to look at this. This is really, Cain was a serpent seed. He was the son of the serpent. Alright. Abel was the son of Adam. And Adam was the son of God. So, the trade comes down. When Cain kill Abel, the question I always ask the denomination of Christian, why did he kill Abel? If he was the son of Adam. Because they don't believe that there was such a thing that Eve had sex with the serpent. They said it's a dirty doctrine. Let me tell you one thing. The Bible, many times in many places, appears very dirty. There are some that says that your Bible is a pornographic book. I said, well, you're correct. Go look at the book of Song of Solomon. That's a book on sexology. My Bible is a book on psychology. Technology. Yes. Sociology. It's a book on economy. Book on sexuality, that's true. What else does the Bible have? Huh? A book of war. Yes. Warfare, teach you how to fight. It's all inside there. A book of moral as well. You name it, it's right here. Because God is all of it. But people don't seem to want to know the truth. So he said it's a fruit. A fruit. And then Eve sinned, they realized that they were naked. Naked in what sense? The word Hebrew nakedness shows that they were defiled. That's why they cover their private part. Why do they cover their private part? They had always been naked under there. Adam and Eve always been naked. They did not wear any clothes. Why? You mean to eat an apple, make them realize that they were naked? Something is wrong. I eat apple every day. Or maybe it's a passion fruit. Do you think that you eat all this fruit, you realize you're naked, really, and cover up? That's nonsense. You see. But the fact is here, that this was the son of the serpent. The tree, because the serpent was possessed by Satan. Satan used him to impart vicariously that genetic trait of Satan. That's why Jesus Christ said that you are the father of the devil. He told the Pharisees. That's why. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was referring to who? He was referring not to Cain. He was not referring to the serpent. He was referring to Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. Because that's why you have the world before us. Before Adam and Eve exist. The prehistorical world. All those animals. Why did they die? Also because of Lucifer. Satan. It's all traced back. The answer is all there. See. So now. We find that the serpent seed. When we deal with the serpent seed. This is literal. So Cain's descendant. They're all serpent seed. And there were the one, even one of them called Lamech, introduced polygamy. They want to multiply fast. They want to have huge number of people. Huh? And this, I want you to watch this thing. This is the carnality, the aggression that is found in Lucifer to begin with, after God judged him. That's what the words meant. Now, later on when God called Abraham. Now here, therefore, we have Abraham. Here we have two male, one female. Here is one male, and we have two females. There's only one male with the male seed. God called Abraham, who was already married, to Sarah. His wife. But when Abraham was told by Sarah to take Hagar, the handmaid, this is a born woman. She was an Egyptian woman. God did not want to make the seed. God wanted to keep the family in line, the family gene pool. That's how interesting God is. He wanted to keep the family gene pool. So, but Abraham happened to the wife, and from Hagar came forth Ishmael. Male. And then from Sarah came forth Isaac. There are two different seeds. We have same seed, but two different gardens. The fruit produced two different mixture of seed. Especially the first one here, Ishmael, we're talking about. A mixture of seed on this one. A mixture of gene. And if you notice this about Ishmael. Ishmael was a war man. You see, God wants to keep the gene pool altogether. That's important how that we Christian. When we want to marry. We want to marry someone who is a believer. To keep within the faith. Else you will have trouble. Alright? So we find that here. Ishmael was a war man, Isaac was. Now, in the next case, we have one male. Sorry, this is one male, two female. Alright. Then we have Isaac. One male and one female. And from here, Rebecca. The wife of Isaac came forth two boys, Esau and Jacob. Now we have one garden there, same seed, same garden, but produced two different kinds of fruits. Here we have to begin with the first one. Two different seeds, okay, that produce two different fruits. And here we have one male, one kind of seed, but two different garden that also produce two different kinds of fruits. And lastly, we have, well, one seed, one garden. Also, two different kinds of fruits. Interestingly, what happened now? The thing is that why? How come it? If this the first one,
the first, where we have only one garden with two different seed, two different fruits, and this is a bad fruit. This Cain, he was a bad fruit. Because he was a pure serpent seed. But over this site, where we have the flood. Because before the flood, these two lines were mixed, were interbreeding, and it produced giant and become very wicked. The more that you hybrid, the worse it gets. And God had to destroy it, those serpent seeds. The flood was brought about because of them, to destroy, wipe out serpent seed. So what happened over the flood? We have Noah and his wife, Naamah. Now Naamah was a woman, the seed of a serpent. And they brought forth three sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth. Right? So these are mixed. The three sons are mixed. But now you ask a question. How come that when Noah had Naamah, how is it that the children were not giants? Because giant did not come in the first generation. It never, just because of one hybrid. It always come in the third generation. A further intermediate. That's why over the flood, we find that Naamah no longer have any other children by Noah. We know that Naamah had committed incest. Had committed incest with the mother. And remember this, she's a serpent seed woman. And commit incest with Ham. And a child was born. What was his name? Canaan. Now the Bible doesn't lie. If people want to study the Bible carefully, they'll find the answer. Bring forth both the incest brought forth Canaan. And you know this name Canaan. Canaan. Everybody knows about Canaan land, Canaan land, Canaan land. But they don't realize that Canaan land related to this bastard son of Ham and his mother. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see. But after that, because of the law, because God has put a curse on such activity, Naamah no longer give birth. And so does the same, so was the same with Ham. Ham, after giving birth to Canaan, no more sons. They became sterile. Think about it. And it was Canaan's descendant that brought forth giants. But already, I want to say this, since the bloodline already are put onto these three sons, you know, there were no daughters. Noah did not have daughters. Noah and Naamah did not have any daughters. These three sons were already married before they went into the ark. The Bible did not tell what kind of seed they were. That doesn't matter. Because the seed came from the comes from the man. Why is it so? What is it that the seed is not counted to the woman's side? But you know, in some country in the world, there is very strange custom. If you go to Cambodia, when a man and a woman marry, the man takes the name of the wife. Uh-huh. Strange, isn't it? Yes. The man takes the name of the wife. Not the wife takes the name of the man. Strange, huh? And in one place, in Mushu, you know, they probably have seen it on National Geographic. And a place somewhere in, I'm not quite sure which part of the world. It's a place called Mushu. M-U-S-U-O. They allow, the woman is the one that caught the shot. And the woman can go and sleep with any man that she likes. Just pick a man and sleep. This one, next one woman, next one another woman. The men in that community have no say. So the woman is the boss. You see how twisted the world has become, custom and change. When people migrate out, they want to have their own. And this, for this tribe called Canaan, they went and lived in this area that we know today as Canaan land. All the way from the Mediterranean Sea, the shore, all the way to the east, and all the way up the Euphrates River, down to Egypt. All the big land, they inhabited that land. Even the Philistine came from who? Came from one of the sons of Ham, Mizraim. And that's what the Philistines are always fighting against. You know, they are giants too. Always fighting against Israel. And God wanted the children of Israel. God wanted, that's why God chose Abraham. He said, you come down, go down, I want to bring you to a land. And I'm going to give you that land. Why? That God did not say to Abraham, you know what, I want to bring you to Europe. Because you know what, the land Canaan is where the Canaanites dwell. And they are very wicked people, and God's intention was to have a descendant, multiply, make big nation of Abraham's descendant, and then go into the land of Canaan and wipe them all out. That's a God of war. Terrible, isn't it? People think that God is so good, so peaceful and all that, but they don't realize that God is a God of wrath too. Huh? There's always a reason why God is like that. Because God says, I create good and evil. Right? God did not directly create evil. But when he created Lucifer, he knows even what Lucifer will happen. What will happen to Lucifer in his choice? Self-deception. And that's a terrible thing when you deceive yourself. But that's all that God is. So that's God, when God chose Abraham. So this began the journey. So now when we come over to chapter 26 here, let us start from there now. I want you, as I said, I want you to keep in touch with this serpent nature. Because after the flood that destroyed all the serpent seed, the pure serpent seed, over this part there is no more pure serpent seed. It's only that serpent nature. That when you multiply deep between Naamah, who was a serpent woman, with his son, with her son, who was already half of the gene in him. So you are mixing even bad genetic build-up. That spirit. Wow. You know, I was told, but I'm not sure whether that is not an article that I read years ago, that those hardcore criminals they found that they have one extra chromosome. And you know why is that? The seed is counted to the man? Was because the woman's chromosome have only XX chromosome. In a man they have the XY chromosome. It's the XY that determines the sex of the child. Do you understand? If the sperm pass off the Y to the egg, that is already an X, you got a male. If the sperm decided to pass over the X chromosome, you know, then of course you get a female child. You know. So man is a determining factor. So over the flood then, what we have is no longer pure serpent seed. There's none. The only one that was pure over the flood was Naamah. You know. And she was a woman. So what happened over this time? The flood, that's why God, after the flood, took Abraham and having a plan and a purpose to destroy the Canaanite in the land to give his descendant. We see that even in this man whom God chose, God is willing to show have a record in his book for you and I to understand. That the serpent nature, the serpentine nature that is embedded into us, that's how we call it original sin. That's how it's come, the original sin is passed down to every one of us. When my Bible tells me the sin of the father, the iniquity that's committed by the father is passed down to the third and fourth generation, and that's it. But how is it that it's passed down all the way back to us today? How is it that we are born into this world, crying, yelling, and struggling and fighting? Growing up, you don't have to teach a child. They know how to rebel. They want their own way. And they grow up into teens. When the hormones start pumping up, they think that they're already adults. They can handle their own affair. Because why? This world is not our home. This world do not belong to God. It belongs to the devil. The planet Earth belongs to God. The world is not. The world means the cosmos. The thing that, the system that is already here, existed, created by civilization of fallen men. Do you understand? You see? That's why everybody wants their own opinion. Look at young girls today, teenagers. Look at young boys, teenagers. What do they do out there? I was a teen, I know that. I want to have my fun. But I thank God that the Lord gave me this gospel before I was 12 years old. Of course, at that particular time also, that sometimes I want to do my own. I want to have my own way. But I was very conscious of God. I have seen many people, friends over the years in school, secondary school. Where are they today? So, when we look at this one person, and we can see the difference in the nature of their children, of his children. Ishmael, Isaac. Ishmael was a wild man. And Ishmael's descendant, today, many of them are so much against Isaac's descendant. Is there madness in the world? When you create a religion, you create a problem. In the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, came, God created the first religion. And that's God's religion, not man's religion. To redeem man back to him, he asked for blood. Because blood was involved in the fall. Because why? The blood of the serpent is mixed with the blood of mankind. So blood was contaminated, is contaminated to this day. Still that. And that's why blood must be shed to take away sin. As the Bible says, a life for a life, an eye for an eye, blood for blood. So that's a mystery people don't seem to understand why Jesus died on the cross. Why must he shed his blood? Now, why? Because blood was involved. So now that mankind already have in the blood, well, in the blood, there already mixture of the serpentine nature and the nature of heaven, of mankind. Nature of mankind. Alright. That God, you know, which of course was in heaven. So mixed. That's why in us, we were born into this world. Basically, bad. I always want to emphasize it because I hear a lot of theology coming up with all their silliness. They say men were born basically good. Really? Huh. Where do you get that theory? Where do you get that kind of theology from? Oh, I have been to theology of Bible school for so many years. I was a theologian for so many years, a professor of theology. Big deal. The truth of God is not taught by a system that made by man. Man build a system, man will teach. You want to earn money? You want to be a billionaire? Go to the school of Warren Buffett or George Soros. He will teach you how to make money. I may go to the bank and ask this financier. You see whether they give you money. Sometimes you lose the money. Huh? The system man is like that. But you see, over here now, when we look at it, you can see these genes are different everywhere. The reaction. But I want you to notice one particular trait. It is that because you are born basically bad, there is this carnal nature in us, this aggression in us. Is it not true? Those of you who drive will know. Huh? Why we have road rage? Huh? Or even walking the street, somebody bang into you. You know. Or somebody walking in front of you, towards you, and there is a space that he's supposed to move, but he just walked like this towards you. He wants you to move away. You know what I mean? And you know this aggression. Where did it come from? The Bible said, Lucifer was a murderer from the beginning. And that's where the aggression comes from. Alright, let's go back to the Bible. Now, let's go to Genesis 26 now. And we'll read from there, we'll just follow something from that. And the Lord, verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, because there was a famine. Don't go to Egypt. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I'll bless thee. Now there was a famine in the land, and yet God said, don't go down to Egypt like it was before when he told Abraham. But now he said, no, don't go down to Egypt. But stay here. I will be with you, and I will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now this is the covenant that God now make with, not a covenant, but a promise that God make with Isaac. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Right. Well, first, God gave it to Abraham, in thy seed. Now he said to Isaac, who is thy seed of Adam, I mean of Abraham, now he said, in thy seed also. So what that particular seed is all about? You know, the emphasis is not just a particular literal physical son of Abraham or Isaac. You know what I mean? In thy seed. So this was a promise that you only in one seed can all nations be blessed. Not Isaac, not Jacob, but Jesus Christ. Amen. The only begotten Son of God, that promised seed. But Jesus was born from that lineage of the tribe of Judah. You see. Alright? And I will make, verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed, I will listen to this, because we are discussing Friday a little bit. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my stature, and my laws. Alright? And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the man of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest that he, the man of the place, should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Well, what happened to his father? Remember his father committed the same thing in Genesis chapter 20? Abraham did the same thing. Right? When he was afraid that they would kill him because Sarah was so beautiful, and that someone would take Sarah for wife. Remember, Sarah was already an old woman, but she wasn't old. Her body was rejuvenated, right, to give birth to Isaac. And now Isaac committed the same thing, like father, like son. Okay? Was it not a lie? It was a lie. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Verse 7. See what the Lord here said later on. Brother Henry, we'll read that.
34?
Yes, verse 7.
Verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will be by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and in the fourth generation.
You see, you talk about iniquity. Now, as I said this, in case you forget again, all sins are sins. But the most dreadful sin, most sin that God really hates was the sin of iniquity. The sin of iniquity is a sin that is not fair to another party when you commit it. Huh? So God hates it. Abraham committed the sin of iniquity when he told the people out there, you know, when he was with Sarah in Egypt, as well as in Gerar, when he was there. Even though Sarah was a cousin sister, yes, but he said, she is my sister, when she actually was his wife. It may be a half-truth, but a half-truth is a lie. That's why it's called half. You understand? Huh? So when this put Sarah in a very bad state, because if Sarah was taken by the Pharaoh and Pharaoh married her, what happened? The Pharaoh would have committed a sin of taking somebody's wife. And Sarah will be living in adultery. Who caused it? That will be Abraham. You understand? They put other parties in a disadvantage. They put them in a situation where they are at the loss. That's why denomination today are just the same. When they preach the word of God mixed with traditions of men. Not preaching the real truth, only the half truth. What happened? The congregation that follows such a teaching, follows such a system, they were placed at a disadvantage. They were at a loss for truth. They were lost and blind to the word of God. So who is to be blamed? No wonder Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many will come to me in the last day, Lord, Lord, I've done this in your name. I've done great miracle works in your name. I cast a demon in your name. I healed the sick in your name. Jesus said, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. That's what he said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 23. You know that very well. And that's why this verse, this passage of scripture in Matthew, oh my, I wonder how many preachers will face that word when they stand before Christ. I never knew you. Wow. But today many preachers are well known. Television evangelists, on YouTube, everywhere. You see, they want to make a name for themselves. They take the name of Jesus Christ, they preach the gospel, they heal the sick, they cast out demons. All for themselves. Huh? They are workers for filthy lucres. Their name are well known, but they don't preach the real truth. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't want to stand before the Lord with blood on my hand. See? So here we are. That the judgment will fall upon the third and to the fourth generation. That's what I'm talking about, iniquity. And you know, the sin in the garden was actually that. Also unfair. If Adam had to take the wife and Eve, well, Eve had two husbands, so to say. Not fair, not good. But how is it that the sin of Adam did not pass down just to the fourth generation, but pass down all to us? Was because it deals with the blood. And therefore it takes the blood to cleanse away our sin. Verse 8. And it came to pass when they had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked up at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how sayest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, lest I die for her. So you know all this fear. She's under natural. Natural. No, you don't blame him. Right? Can we blame him? Because you are living in a land where this Philistine, you know. Abimelech. Of course, this Abimelech is not the Abimelech that Abraham faced early on. Abimelech means just the word Malak. You know Malak? Malak. Malak means king. Abba. Father. Father of the king. Or king father. Kingly father. Whatever the word will. Then you have Ahimelech. Okay? In another place. Melchizedek, king of peace. So, I mean, maybe just it's name of king. It doesn't. It can be a name. It can not necessarily be a name like Pharaoh or Pharaoh. Just the name of a title, like emperor, for example. You see. But of course, today, word can be used as a name like Grace. Somebody called their children a daughter Grace. Grace, is that a name? Of course, it's a name. Innocent. You know, in Africa, I suppose it's innocent. You understand? Oh, the daughter is called Mercy. Whenever she entered the door, the parents will have mercy. You know, so, you know, the expression of words become attached to a name. So, that's how names are. So, we don't know which Abimelech that is. And so, and Abimelech said, What is it you have done unto us? One of the people might likely have lain with your wife, and you should have brought guiltiness upon us. You see that thing? And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that touched this man or his wife will surely be put to death. Well, at least this man is Philistine, a king, but he has good moral value, huh? You see, no, so not all Philistines are bad. Not all Canaanites are bad, but majority were bad, bad seed. Like a rotten apple tree, you know, most of the tree will be bad. I mean, most of the apple will be bad, but there might be one or two that's good, huh? Sure. No. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the Lord, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks. And possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistine envied him for all the wealth which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them up with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than us. So God blessed him. And Isaac departed then and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again and the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistine had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their name after the name of which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found there a well of springing water, which means living water. So, there are many wells that the father, Abraham, had originally dug. And because they prospered, so the Philistines would chase them out, and they seal up the well. But now, Isaac came back, and he started reopening up the well. So, that is a very interesting picture here. You know, like here we have, the church started with the word of God going forth in its full glory and power. The truth was brought forth to the people. About a few hundred years later, less than 300 years later, there was already a lot of conflict. And you have the church in Rome, and because he was under the Holy Roman Empire, and then you have this Constant, emperor. You know, he was in favor with the Catholic Church. He wanted to go to war. And because he had a vision of a cross in the sky, in this you shall conquer. So he embraced Christianity. You know, so the whole Europe all became, well, Christian, so to say. And so because of that, the Roman Catholic gains power. But all at the same time, there were all kinds of conflicting doctrines. And one of them is the Godhead. Is God a Trinity? Or is God one? So we have a group in Alexandria standing for one God, the Arian. Then we have those over in the majority under the Catholic group and the Church of Rome. They think they believe that there are three. So there was a debate going on for quite some time until the majority voted for the Trinity. And that's why the Trinity doctrine exists today. You see, the carnality is always the bigness, the size. Remember? Cain's people, they multiplied. Whole lot of people. Lamech started polygamy. More wives, you got more gardens to plant your seeds. And more fruits will result. And in the guy, and over the flood here we have the land of Canaan, just proliferated with all these Canaanite seeds. Canaan, the seed of Canaan. And how bad they really are. So it's that the carnality of wanting to be big, wanting to be recognized, like Goliath came up to fight against the children of Israel. Challenged them. Someone come and fight him. He was a tall, big guy. You read the Bible, they are Og of Bashan. Very tall fella, 13 feet, if I'm not mistaken. It's always the size. Like the serpent in the garden. He was a tall fella. And later on, God protected Cain so that nobody could just slay him, giving him grace. He made Cain to be a big guy to protect himself. That was that serpent seed, that nature. That's why today, because of the mixture, sometimes we get somebody who's a giant, who's tall, 7, 8, 10 feet tall. I think the tallest man today, I think, is 8 feet something, I think. And then we have those, the genetic problem that give birth to a child who's a dwarf, a midget. What happened? It was all in the gene, the mixture of gene. Genes are cattle, when you interbreed, hybrid, inbreed, and whatever, this is the problem. That's why God, no longer, because there's no serpent seed anymore in literal, God is dealing with the spiritual seed to be careful of the religious serpent seed. And so in the day of Jesus Christ, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus Christ called them, you are the father of the devil. He called them snakes, vipers. Because why? They take their tradition and they taught them, the people, that they make the word of God no effect. It doesn't have any effect because when you have tradition, there is no effect upon the people who hears it. Alright, so let us continue now. When they start digging the water, I mean this old well, it reminds me of this, as a tradition in the church today. God now has given us the truth. Since God sent the prophet Brother Abraham in the early 20th century, and now the saints are woken up. And as the well is being dug again, those tradition has sealed up. When you start digging into the Word of God, you remove all those traditions. And the water of God's word spring forth like a living fountain of life. That's why the Bible became a new Bible to me. The day that I remove tradition out of my life, the day that I keep away from evil, the Bible became a new book. It is a book, a well of living water that spring forth. So you continue right now, let us go over to verse 26 now. Abimelech went to him from Gerar and Ahuzar and one of his friends, and Phicho, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come you to me, seeing that you hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no harm, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of Yahweh. And he made him a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betime in the morning, and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from them in peace. So that is one of the things. God blessed Isaac so much so that people recognize. Even the enemy recognized that this man came into our land with nothing. Not much. And yet, over time, he multiplied hundreds of fold. Huh? So they have to see that, oh, this must be the hand of God. And because they multiply, well, Amalek, because he lived in Gerar, which is his area, and he wanted peace, so he just wanted to make a covenant with Isaac so to keep the peace. So you see how the Lord did this for him. Now, verse 34, here we come to Esau now. And look at how bad it was. Chapter 26, verse 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashama, the daughter of Elam, the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. It said, huh? Esau, this man, Esau, remember, was for Isaac, his firstborn. And he went and married the Hittite. And Hittite was a descendant of Heth, who was a son of Canaan. They were giants. So Esau went and married a big woman, perhaps. You know how sometimes, you know, sexual problem arises when men looking at a woman voluptuous. You know, hourglass figure. Mennonites. You know, this one of the things why the children is, well, that's why Sethic people, you know, the children of Seth, they were very plain. The women were very plain. But when the sons of God, when they, the men, saw the woman on the other side, the Canaanite, the woman, oh, they are very fair, very nice to look at. Very pleasing to the eye. You know, well, you know, the mascara is moving up and down. You know, the fair face thing, the beauty, the how, oh, mascara, all this cosmetic, what's wonder? You know, one Indian pastor in India spoke to his congregation when he saw a lot of young sisters putting on makeup and earrings and all that. And he asked them, he said, why are you putting on all this makeup? Did God make a mistake on your face? That you need to put on cosmetic, you know, like plastic surgery. Wow, that's kind of odd. I mean, if you have a scar, yeah, you want, you know, if you have a scar, you want to go for, you know what, what do you call that? Plastic surgery to remove the scar, yeah. If you have a cleft lip, I know some people have a cleft lip here. And a man, especially, and then they want to put a moustache to cover that. I understand. You know? Or if you have something here, you want to cover that mark up there, okay, fine. But you're looking normal, nice, and why do you want to put on all that? Lipsticks. You mean your lips must be really red and rosy? Then make it attractive? Then God should have actually made that in the beginning. God would have made you a doll. A living, walking, talking doll. You know how a doll look like? Dog always have a eyelashes very long, huh? And very nice cheeks and all of that. God will make. God The whole thing in the problem is that everybody born in this world is just carnal. Men want to look for beautiful woman, sexy woman. Woman to look for men with the bicep and tricep or whatever, all those. But a nice building. Maybe for he possess a lot of money. What are we looking for in this life? As I said last week or so ago, you died, and what happened to all your properties, all your valuables? Are you going to kick with you? You can't. The question is, be ready to meet your God. That is my motive. How long can you live? 100 years old? Then you say, I'll wait until I'm 99. How old are you now? 30 years old? Out the door you go, hit by a car, you went flying, and you never wake up. How do you know? The Bible warns us, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. You never know the next hour you go. You read on the paper, how many accidents in Singapore happened already for the last few weeks. You never know. But if you are ready, if you are a child of God, if God wants to call you home, wonderful. But if you are not, then you better get ready. See? So, well, your way of Esau married two women. Two women. Where did the polygamous come from? This polygamous marriage. Where did it come from? It started by the Canaanite line to begin with. Their custom allows it. Just like Abraham. Sarah said to him, okay, take my the bold woman for the concubine. What it is lawful because it is customary. And God allows it. But God is not happy with it. That's why when Jesus came upon the scene, he forbid that. He forbid a Christian man to have a second wife until the first one died. You cannot have two living wives at the same time. God in Christ, when he came, he changed everything to bring us back to the original. Let us go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 9. Verse 19. Chapter 18, verse 19. And see what the Bible said regarding Abraham. Chapter 18, verse 19. God said, for I know him, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham which he hath spoken of him. Abraham, God knew that he would take care of his children. He would raise them up. And God and Abraham did raise up Isaac nicely. But Isaac in turn did not raise up his children properly. Wasn't that something sad? Yes. Now, chapter 27 here. You know that in the earlier first chapter before that, Esau sold his birthright. Despised his birthright and he sold it to Jacob for a bowl of red bean soup. Now, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eye were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And Esau said, behold, here I am. And Isaac said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and make me, and take me some venison. Oh my. I think that is, the last of the flesh. I love venison. I'm old now, Esau. Go on. Take a bow and arrow and go and hunt me some deer meat. Hunt me some deer and then get a coolie and prepare nice venison for me. He loved this venison. He became a problem. became a problem to him, actually. All he loved was Esau. Oh, you know, he had forgotten what God said when the two children, the two sons were born. Remember, the prophecy said, the younger, the elder shall serve the younger. Because the blessing goes to who? Jacob. He forgot. But because he tasted, you know, sometimes that one thing about us, when we, the Bible talks about gluttony, and gluttony is a sin. If we love something so much so that it blinded our spiritual mind, it's dangerous. Huh? Yeah. You know. So, this is the problem with Isaac. So, well, the story goes, you know, he said, Esau, you go hunt me a good deer and then make me venison, and after I eat it, I will bless you. Not otherwise, it seems. If you don't get me this venison, I will not bless you. Go, go. Alright, so Esau went out hunting. And you know, Rebecca heard what was spoken in verse 5. Rebecca heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Esau went to the field to hunt venison to bring it. And Rebecca spoke unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau, your brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savoury meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command you. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savoury meat for their father, such as he loved. Yeah. Venison come from deer, right? I mean, that's everybody thought. So sometimes you go to a restaurant and you order venison meat. You think you're eating venison meat? Because Rebecca knows the art of converting, of cooking in such a way that good meat tastes like venison. Have you thought about that? Yes. You see, today a lot of meat are frozen and you don't know what they're eating. You know, when I was young, lamb chop was delicious. Mutton soup was delicious. Today, mutton soup, lamb chop doesn't taste like lamb chop nor mutton soup. Because I don't know what they feed to the animal. Do you know? You don't know what they feed to the animal. Even our pig, our pork that is sold in the supermarket, they are flying pigs from Australia. Huh? And does it taste good? No. It tastes different. So if you want to taste good pork, meat, go to JB. Go to Java, you know, at least they all, you know, because we cannot import pig into Singapore from Malaysia. Because of the swine flu and all those stuff, and, well, you know, these are all the... Alright, so, and here, see what Jacob said. Verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a heady man, and I'm a smooth man. I'm not rough, I'm not a wild person out there. See, I'm very smooth, you know, I'm a mama boy, actually. And then he said, my father by adventure will feel me, and I will seem to him a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Well, you know, Jacob means supplanter. Supplanter is not a deceiver. Huh? Supplanter is one who takes advantage, sees an opportunity. Alright? Without being a deceiver. But now in this case, he knew what the mother is going to do. He said, I will be called a deceiver. And you know, Rebecca, I want you to know, Rebecca knew the prophecy. He knew the blessing that was already pronounced upon. And you know, Satan, the way that Satan moved in the rest of the way, it can come upon any of God's people. Isaac was so much in love with venison that he blinded his spiritual mind. That God already said that Jacob will be the one. Esau will serve him. And now you want to turn the table around. Rebecca knew that what God said must be upheld. And so, he said, verse 13, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch them. So he went, he took the goat, kids, and the mother prepared, goat meat transformed into venison meat. And then he put on some goat's hair upon the arms of Jacob, you know, and put on the Esau's clothes on him, so he smells like Esau. And then he came to the father, verse 18, he came to his father and said, my father, and Jacob, and Isaac said, and he said, here am I. And Jacob asked, thou art, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you have asked me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Isaac said unto his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. What a lie! No! You know the carnality that is going on in this people of God, that God has chosen. The Lord your God has brought it to me. Wow. So many times people use God's name for their own selfish gain. The Lord spoke to me, the Lord told me to say this, blah, blah, blah. But that's not true. Okay? And God is just watching. You know, God watched from heaven and just smiled at all this foolishness. Huh? Yes. But God is always knowing what is going to happen. So I don't know if God have a laugh. See what's going on in my mind. How the mess people have become. Alright. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come here. And so he said, come here, so I may feel you. And he smelled him and so on. The voice is Jacob's voice, but he smells like my son. And he feels like my son. Okay, then he ate. After eating it, and his father said unto him, in verse 26, come here now and kiss me, my son. And he came and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. Now I want to say this is a blessing. Now I don't know what you consider blessing. How important is a blessing of someone who is God fearing and whom blessing will flow? If what is it that the children ask the parent, bless me? Do you think blessing has any importance? Do you think that blessing actually works? That a father bless the son? Do you think it works? Let me tell you, it works. If you curse your son, see what happened to your son. You know what I'm saying, huh? So how some of the parents, sometimes they got angry, or they scold the children and curse the children. What happened? They'll be born out of, those children will go and turn bad. And there are parents that don't hug their children. They don't hug their children. They just say, you're doing all right, don't disturb me. That's really bad. So now he say, see the smell of my son. It's more like a poetry or a song that he's singing anyway. And it has the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven means that, what the dew is? It's something that refreshes. It comes down in the early morning. And the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. It means a lot of abundance. Let the people serve thee and nation bow down to thee. Be Lord over your brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee. Jacob got this blessing because his father was half blind. And so, last football, venison, that implanted him. If this blessing were pronounced upon Esau, the whole table is true. See, Barnett? Just think. Rebecca knew that the husband has lost his, you know, sense of what God said. But watch what happened later on. Later on, in verse 30, we're not going to read all. When Esau came back and prepared the venison, right? And brought it to his father. And in verse 32, and Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn son, Esau. And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? What is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all this before thou came. And a blessing. Yeah, and he shall be blessed. Whoa, in that fit of a moment, when Esau came back, you know, he could say, who is that? I'm Esau, your son. Then he realized that it took him quite some time to find venison, obviously. Then he said, he trembled exceedingly that this is a play of word here. He trembled at the same time that, mine. He had given a blessing not to Esau, but to Jacob. At the same time, he trembled because he realized now that he almost had thwarted the plan of God and taken the blessing from the one who should have the blessing. That's why in the last part he said, yeah, and he shall be blessed. He realized that. To show to you what the words reveal regarding Isaac's recognition. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He realized at that time, then he realized that the blessing that he had already passed and given to Isaac was what God intended. He almost had taught the plan. You know. And now, going back again to chapter 28 of chapter 27 of Genesis, verse 36. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. Well, Bibi, double B, birthright and blessing. Now he have forgotten, he now they realize that when you despise your birthright, you despise your own blessing too. Birthright goes, blessing goes. You see, my birthright I have in Christ Jesus, I'm not going to despise it, because it's real. With the birthright that God has given me, I have the blessing. My birthright is Christ's inheritance in me. Yes. What was Christ's inheritance in the saints? The name of God. The name of his Father, Yahweh. That's why he was called Yahshua. And because of that name, we took the name of Jesus Christ in water baptism. We inherited the right to be a part of him. And all which have been received from the Father as a firstborn, he gave it to all his brothers and sisters. We don't despise it. God forbid. Yes. He asked his father, is there any more blessing for me? In verse 38, oh my father! And Esau lift up his voice and he wept. And what did Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17 say? Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one was sold of meat, so his birthright. For you know how that afterward when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Yeah, a profane person, wicked person. You know, sometimes, let us be honest, every one of us here, whether you're Christian or not Christian, at times when we are angry, we can become very wicked. A lot of things goes through our mind. And I said like this, I thank God. Many times I was so upset, you know, I told you about this, what happened to me when I was going to the airport. Remember when running a motorcycle and how that Mercedes van behind me was just trying to push me off the road. And I give way to him, he went forward, and then what traffic jam, I went forward again, and he was behind me. He did the same thing, just horned me to get out of the way. All the lanes are filled with vehicles. How did I get out of the way? So I got out of the way a second time, and he just go out in front of me. Just one space in front of me. He just made me so angry. And I was on Paya Lebar Road. And I said to myself, I said, if you are going to where I'm going, your car will be damaged. So when I went over to the airport, on the motorcycle in the parking lot, he was just entering into the parking space, not exactly where I was, very near me. So I said to the motorcycle, I said, you go ahead, now I'm going to come into your car. So I waited. You know that the conflict that goes in, you feel angry, you feel upset, like you saw. I want to go and scratch his car, Mercedes car, very nice car. There was this conflict in me. You know, and the Lord was watching. I think the Lord also have a good laugh. Just get angry. Yeah, okay, fine, get angry. You want to do it? You think so? You know, I got my motorcycle, I just walked into the airport. And I said to myself, I said to myself, as if I'm talking to the man, you're very lucky. If I'm not a Christian, you're gone. A precious car. You know that pastor, you know that's why we talk about the supernature, the carnality, the aggression. It all came from where? Satan passed down to the serpent to us. That's why Cain was a murderer and he killed Abel. Already Satan, Lucifer already destroyed much of God's creature. The prehistorical world of dinosaur. Huh? And he told lies. And Cain told lies. Right? And here we have what was given as we close here. What was blessing was left for him? And verse 39, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy, and he pronounced the blessing. Because behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, which is according to the land of Edom. And of the dew of heaven from above. But there was no mention of corn and wine. Which means abundance of food and stocks and everything. There were no mentions. And then in verse 40, and by thy sword thou shalt live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off the hand. And it was later, 1,000 years later, that this yoke that was upon his descendant was gone from Israel. They broke away and they had their own king. And then Esau, of course, Jacob, in the next paragraph, what did he do? He ran away. He has to run. He has to run from Esau because Esau was going to kill him. Nobody is that stupid to hang around. Even Jesus Christ, when he was preaching and then the crowd was wanting to come upon him, he ran. Leave to fight another day. Don't be stupid. And Rebecca said to Jacob in verse, the last part, the last verse. Rebecca said to Jacob, you know, Rebecca, his mother, told him, go back to my brother Laban. Go to Padan Aram. Go up. Go back to where you came from, where our family line was there. Go back. You know. And he said, go there and stay for a while. But actually, he stayed 20 years. And when Jacob came back later on, he never see his mother. His mother passed away. But you know what the last verse 46 says? Rebecca said to Jacob, to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heath. If Jacob took a wife of the daughter of Heath, such as these which are of the daughters of the Lamb, what good shall my life do me? Rebecca was a spiritual woman to realize and I understand God's plan, that which was promised to Abraham. Huh? And he saw all this. And her firstborn son married the Hittite woman. And they were all living around there. And she said, my soul is worried because of all this woman, half naked, also beautiful, also voluptuous and sort of attractive, you know. I don't think of to marry any of this woman. Because they are pagans, they are idol worshippers. They know not the God of Abraham. That's why God took Abraham out from the land of Ur of Chaldea, Mesopotamia. Because the people there, though they worship Yahweh, they are mixing it with tradition, they are mixing it with idols. Say, I want you to come down to a land, separate from your people. I'll make you a nation. And Rebecca realized God's prophecy, God's word. So he asked Jacob to go out to his brother's house. And he will come back and see him later. Because of the woman living in that area. And I'm glad also then to sacrifice. You know, just imagine your son leaving you. And it takes many years, hoping that he will come back. But by the time he came back, she's already gone. And God had a wonderful way of dealing with human beings. At the moment of Esau's anger, wanting to kill Jacob. Jacob went and lived after so many years. When they came together, there was an union. You know, the hatred slowly dissipated from Esau. Alright? So we pray and thank God for this word. Thank you. Hallelujah. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your word of truth. Praying, Lord, that you take the word further and break it out. Thank you, Father, for the birthright that you have given to Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and that, Lord, in His grace, He gave it to us. We thank you for that wonderful name. We ask for your blessing, O Lord, upon our life too. That as we yield our spirit to you, Lord, and walk in thy light, we know, Father, you'll make a way for us, as you did for all that you have, where we have passed, learned so far, Abraham, Isaac, and even Jacob. So we commend, O Lord, the rest of the day to you. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.